A guy came to me, just became a Christian and was still working through some things. He came to me one week and he said, Pastor Wayne, he said, I'm not gonna come back to this church no more. I said, how come? He said, no more, that's it. I said, why? Every time I come here, oh, I feel so bad on the inside. I said, is there like a burning? He said, yeah, like one hot burn. I said, good, because God's refining your heart. He said, oh, but too hot, that lot. I said, because got plenty for burn up as I.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message that was given on Father's Day a few years back, a message geared especially to dads. Pastor Wayne will be talking about developing a heart of honesty and truthfulness. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Father's Day, A Heart of Integrity.
In today's world, it's tough being a dad. And on this Father's Day, it's brought to our knowledge because a dad is a breadwinner. He's a referee, disciplinarian, coach. He's a fix-it man. And when you don't fix it, you got to pay for the one to come and redo what you tried to fix. And you're also someone who's a confidant. Story goes where the little boy was going into the kitchen, and every time the mom would bake some cookies, he would take the dough and he would steal it and run away, and the mother would swing the spoon at him, you stay out of the kitchen. Well, a little bit later, he comes in for seconds, and when the mother's not watching, he grabs another piece, and she yelled at him, you stay out of the kitchen or you're gonna get it. Finally, the third one did it. When he stole another piece, she started running after him, saying, you come here, you're gonna get a spank, and he darts under the house. And she can't get under there. It's only about a 2-foot rise. So she says, you wait till your father comes home. You're going to get it. I'm going to tell him everything. Well, sure enough, a couple hours later, the dad comes home and she tells him everything. And you go under there and you discipline your son. I said, okay, all right. So father's under there crawling on his hands and knees under the dark space under the house when he sees two bright eyes in the corner. And that little boy in the corner says, psst, dad. Over here. Is mom after you too? Tough being a dad. Charlie Shedd, who is a parent counselor, would be doing seminars across the mainland, and the title of his seminar was How to Raise Your Kids. And people would come in droves to the seminar until, he said, until I had my first kid. And then I realized that I didn't know anything about how to raise your kids. So he said, so I changed the title of my seminar to some suggestions to parents on how to raise your kids. And then he said, I had my second kid, changed the title again to Feeble Hints for Fellow Strugglers. Tough being a dad, because you don't always perform right. We make mistakes a lot. In fact, the more kids you have, the more I realize how little I know and how I need help. It's like the lady who had her first child, named him Eenie, second Meenie, Miney, third, and then the fourth she named Keoki. And her neighbor said, how come you named the fourth one Keoki? She said, because I don't want no more. Tough being a dad. But I think one of the toughest things of all is that every single dad knows deep inside, whether he does things right or not right, that he's leaving indelible fingerprints on the life of each of his children. And whether that father is a practical nuts and bolts kind of person or a high-rolling CEO, he knows implicitly that he plays a vital part in the molding of every single child. When I was a young dad, I wanted to be a good dad, so I started reading all of these books on how to be a better dad, and I read about fathers who spent hours playing catch with their kids. Oh yeah, that's what I want to do. And then going to all their games, all the games of all the five kids, and homeschool the kids to 4.0 GPA until the kids become valedictorians and all-star athletes, cheerleaders with straight teeth, full-ride scholarship kinds of kids. And they're voted, the parents are voted parents of the year. They chaperone all the trips. And after reading a few of those books, man, I said, I don't want to see it. They make me sick. There's no way I can do that. You see, every father knows that there's no way we can match up to our standards, let alone God's standards. I even tried having, you know, mathematically, I tried having kids so that when my son is about 20 years old, I'll still be in my virile 40s. And so I can run with them. I can still take them. I still can. And I can surf with them, you know, and just stay right up with them. Well, the other week we went surfing. And I hadn't surfed for a while. So I got on my board and Aaron went out there. I didn't realize how far those waves are. Just to paddle out there, I needed oxygen. I was yelling, Baywatch, Baywatch. Man, and the first wave I caught, I fell off the board, went up, hit me on the head. I paddled in, that was it. I went all the way in. My shoulders hurt so bad for the next 2 days, I couldn't even scratch my own head. Thought, enough of this father stuff. And then, you know, I thought, oh man, I'm so intimidated. How can I do all of this? So I thought, Lord, I need something that I can reach to because I make so many mistakes. I'm such a poor excuse for a father. And I just don't match up to my own standards, let alone yours. God, how can I do it? And then I was reading in the book of Genesis a story of a king named Abimelech. And there the Lord spoke to me about a word called integrity. And how integrity and what it means. And that God is looking for people not perfect in performance, but perfect in heart, even though not perfect in performance. Because I'm finding that our children can weather all our mistakes if our hearts are good. Today I want to talk about the heart of a father, integrity. Let's take a look at that. Out of Genesis chapter 20, the lesson comes from a very little known king named King Abimelech and a well-known father, Abraham. Out of it comes a story on this Father's Day and a lesson about an indispensable life lesson called integrity of heart and what God looks for and maybe what integrity means. It was right after Sodom and Gomorrah had fallen, and just before Isaac, Abraham's son, was born, he sojourned to a place called Gerar, which is right near where Sodom and Gomorrah is, and he runs into a king named Abimelech. Now, let me give you some background. In those days, there was a standard law that you don't steal another man's wife. That's just a no-no. Even in pagan nations, they wouldn't do that. But if your wife is a babe, it's okay to kill the husband because now she's not another man's wife. She's a widow. And so Abraham, to save his own hide, going into this place where Abimelech is his pagan king, says to Sarah, Sarah, when we get in there, because I guess she was a babe, I don't know. He said, tell him you're my sister and like I'm your brother. So in case he takes you, I stay alive. You know what I mean? So she says, okay, sounds cool. Real good father, huh? And so, it says here, now Abimelech sojourned and went to the land of the Negev between Kadesh and Shur, and he went to Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, now this is my sister. So he's introducing her to everybody. This is my sister. And so Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, hey, Abimelech, you are a dead man because the woman that you have taken, she's married. Now Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a nation even though I'm blameless? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? Didn't she herself say he's my brother? Listen to this. And it was in the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands that I've done this mistake. Then God said to him in that dream, yes, I know that it was in the integrity of your heart that you made this mistake and that you did this. And I have also kept you from sinning against me. Because he hadn't gone into her and slept with her. I kept you from that. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, you restore this man's wife, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you will die, you and all yours, your history. So Abimelech, listen to this, arose early in the morning, called all of his servants, told him these things in their hearing, and they were all frightened. Well, the story goes on to say that very early in the morning, he restores all of this, and he says, Abraham, why did you do that? He said, because I didn't think you feared God. Well, God restores everything to Abimelech because he had made this error in the integrity of his heart. I want to talk to you about what God looks for in a dad most of all. And that is a heart of integrity. The word integrity comes from the Hebrew word tom, T-H-O-M, which actually means whole or complete or perfect. Would you write that in your notes? That's what the word integrity means. It means whole, complete, or perfect. Now, we have certain things in math called a perfect number. We call that an integer. Now, that word integer comes from the word what? Integrity. Because it is a perfect number, a whole number, a complete number. It is not a fraction. It's not 1 1/4. It's not 3/8. It's got to be a perfect or a whole number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. And so it's not a portion of, it's not a fraction of, it's a whole, complete, or what they call a perfect number. And so the word perfect means whole or complete. And when the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All. A whole heart. It says in Numbers 13 and 14 that these, Joshua and Caleb, they followed the Lord fully, whole, completely. Same word, tom. And what God is saying is I'm not calling you to be a father that's perfect in performance, but I am inviting you to be a father that's perfect in heart, even though there are times the performance falls short. I want to build in you a perfect heart, says the Lord. Because like Abimelech, even when he messes up a little bit, he says, Lord, I tried my best. The Lord said, I know you did. And I know you did it with a whole heart. And because of that, I've kept that sin from scarring you permanently. And I am going to now work things out. And when there is a perfect heart, God says, and I can take over. Anna's brother, Larry Warner, when he was about 12 years old, we were going to go for a couple of days, and we had a cat. So we said, if you'd come over to our house, ride your bike or whatever, and take care of the house and water the plants, we'll give you $5 a day. And he said, oh, great. So little Larry would come over and did exactly that. And when we got back about 3 days later, we saw everything was in good shape except our dried flower arrangement was just wilted. And it was a beautiful, big dried flower arrangement, and it was just devastated. And I looked at it, cost us like $30. And I said, Larry, what happened to this? How come it's so wilted? And little Larry looked up with big eyes. He says, I don't know. It shouldn't be. I watered them. A perfect heart. God's looking for a perfect heart. Some summers during my high school years, I would work at an apple orchard, and we would prune trees, and during the summer times we would bale hay waiting, and at the end of the season we would actually harvest apples. And one day I was walking through the apple orchard with the owner, and he picked one, which an apple at that the apple at that time was only about that small, the size of a walnut, because yet the maturing process was still to be completed. Another 3 months maybe the apple would be ready for harvesting. But he picked it when it was just young, and he looked at it and he said, Wayne, look at this apple. I said, okay, what about it? He said, it's perfect. I said, perfect? You eat that thing, it'll stop you up for a week? He said, no, it still has more to grow. But right now, in its stage of growth, it's perfect. And later on, as I reflected on that, I thought, Lord, you know, when I started my walk with you, I didn't have it all together. There's so many things about God that I still don't know about. But I obeyed God the best way I knew how. And so you see, even though you've got a long way to go, you can still be perfect in the sight of the Lord. Do you understand that? Oh yeah, you still got a long way to go, a lot to learn. But God is looking for people with perfect hearts. Oh, not necessarily perfect in maturation or maturity, perfect in that you've arrived. That's not what it means when he says perfect. He's looking at a whole heart, not a half a heart, where I say one thing and I do another. So I love God with a half a heart. No, I say, will you love me with a whole heart? And then I began to understand that God wanted to build in me a heart of integrity, even though I've got a lot more to learn. Because you know what'll define you in the end? What'll define you is not your skills. You might be known for your skills, but you won't be defined as a person. You'll be defined by your heart. David was like that. David was said that he was a man after God's own heart. And he had a heart like the Lord's, a heart like the Father's. Was he faultless? No. Was David infallible? No. But even in the book of Acts chapter 13, he said, I chose David, a man after my own heart. Why? Because he was a man with a perfect heart. Did he make mistakes? Yeah. But we're going to see how to build a perfect heart this morning. Maybe not perfect performance. Because you see, in the end, God defined David not by his skill, not by his intelligence, not by his riches. He defined David by his heart. And listen, in the end, listen very carefully. That's how you will be defined by God, by your heart. You might be known for your bucks, known for your skill, but you'll be defined by your heart. See, you can have someone perfect in performance, yet not with a perfect heart. You can have someone with a checkered performance, but a perfect heart. God will always look at the heart. How do you build that perfect heart? The reason it's so important is because, you see, the most important thing about you is a character quality called integrity. Integrity is your most important character quality. Would you write that down in that second line? Integrity is your most important character quality. In fact, the Bible says it this way, but you shall be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. No, not in performance, but in heart. Now, even though your performance might be checkered, God says if your heart is perfect, or if your heart is whole, if your heart is right, then he will work all things together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He's saying if your heart is good and you err, I'll work it around and I'll even change bad into good. You'll learn from it. It'll work for your good. Isn't that wonderful? In fact, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says it this way. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are moved to and fro throughout the earth that he might strongly support those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Do you understand how God is looking not for perfect performing people, but perfect hearted people? And my children will weather all my mistakes if I will be constantly building a perfect heart, a heart that's whole, a heart that's honest, a heart that's complete, because that's the kind of heart God looks for. Well, how do you build that kind of perfect heart? I was looking for an illustration of not maybe good in performance, but perfect in heart and how God will use it. Looking for an illustration for that. And this last Tuesday, we were in Zurich, Switzerland. As you know, we came on our way back from Israel, and Dominic is with us, and if you know Dominic, he's a shaved bullet head, local guy with a beard, and a weightlifter, so he's pretty intimidating when he walks around, speaks pidgin English. Now, he's this hang-loose local guy in straight-laced Zurich, Switzerland. You know, like, what's wrong with this picture? And there's a tram, like a little cable car that goes into town. Now, you can buy a ticket for this cable car at the hotel, but it's a blank card you buy for $5. And you have to validate it at a machine. At every stop, there's a machine. You got to validate it because it stamps the time on it, and it gives you a 24-hour, for that price, it's 24 hours. You don't get on the train without stamping it, because some people might be dishonest and not stamp it and just kind of wait, because it's an honor system. You've got to start that, validate it, because you can buy it and wait till the next day before you start the riding of the train, but it's only good for 24 hours. So on the honor system, you got to stamp it before you get on your first train. Dominic didn't know that. He just bought the ticket, got on the train. Now, here's the penalty. If they catch you without having validated your ticket, breaching or violating this honor system, it's a $50 fine on the spot. Now, Dominic doesn't know this. And so he puts the ticket in his pocket, doesn't validate it, gets on the train, and is asking people, you know, like, when is the guy going to come and stamp our tickets? You know, because I got one right here. People, well, I don't know. They speak, German. They don't know what this guy's saying. And so finally he goes into town, does some shopping. On his way back, he sees a policeman get on the train, and he's checking tickets, and they check at random. But you see, in old America, they would come and stamp tickets. Well, not in Switzerland. You better have stamped it already. If not, you're in deep yogurt. And so, because Switzerland's yogurt, over here is kimchi. So he's there, and he says to Aaron, my son sitting there, here he comes. And he takes out his ticket. Right here, policeman, right here. Right here. So the guy comes, okay, says, let me see that. He says, this is illegal. It's not stamped. He says, what do you mean it's not stamped? He says, that'll be $50. He said, 50 bucks? You know how Dominic stands up, 50 bucks? What do you mean 50 bucks? The guy says, get off the train. So he gets him off the train, and he says, you didn't stamp it. I didn't know you were supposed to stamp it. You didn't get it stamped. Are you cheating? Hey, I'm not cheating. 50 bucks. He said, I'm an American. I don't understand this stuff. He said, well, let me see your passport. Dominic gives him his passport. The guy puts it in his pocket and says, 50 bucks. Dominic says, give me back my passport. He says, no, not until you give me 50 bucks. So finally, he relents and gives him the 50 bucks, and he gets the passport back. So by the time I see him back at the hotel, Dominic's in the hotel going like this. I said, Dominic, what happened? And he tells me this whole story. And I said, oh, that's too bad. He said, it cost me 50 bucks, man, 50 bucks. I didn't know. I said, but Dominic, was your heart good? He said, yeah, my heart was good. I said, did you have a perfect heart? He said, yeah. I said, that's wonderful. Then you're okay. And I want you to know that that's good. He said, why? I said, because you just gave me a wonderful illustration of what it means to have a perfect heart. I said, you ain't using me for no illustration. I said, no. See, your 50 bucks and your pain and your tragedy and your discouragement is going for a good cause. It's going to be used as an illustration this Sunday. And he looked at me and he said, well, you better tell him that that story cost me 50 bucks. Just because you have a perfect heart doesn't mean everything turns out right. But God, I said, Dominic, but God's going to use it for good. See, it's a good illustration. And it doesn't stop there. He flies into San Francisco. And you know, you have to go through customs and show your passport. So he shows his, and they look at him, stamp his. And he goes across this line that, you know, you go out of the airport. Well, he has somebody's coat, and they yell, hey, Dominic, give me my coat. Okay, and he walks back across the line with his coat into the customs there. It's like flies on honey. All these customs officers, shoo, right on. What are you doing here coming from there into the customs area? I just bringing this coat back. What's in the coat? Drugs? Oh, no, just a coat. Let me see your passport. Oh, no, not again. So I laughed and I said, Dominic, was your heart right? He said, shut up. So if you really want to rile them up, just go back there and say, let me see your passport. But God's looking for a perfect heart. And you know, because of Abimelech having that perfect heart, God says, I'm going to take care of you and it'll work out. And he saved him from death.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Father's Day, A Heart of Integrity by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
One of the things I love about Hula is that its significance does not solely lie in what you see on the surface. Rather, there's a deeper meaning in what each hula represents. Each movement conveys a special message. It's like your life. Whether you realize it or not, your words and your actions carry significance. What you choose to do or not to do, what you choose to say or not to say, and even who you choose to spend time with carries meaning. You are significant. Today, choose to use that significance for good. It's not as hard as you think. It all begins with one small, selfless action. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.